Hi, I'm Mohammed Al-Ghul. I'm the manager of the Austin Community College Civics Lab. Today, we will be hosting our first ACC Civics Lab podcast. This podcast series will serve as a goal of hosting a number of short interviews with civically engaged professionals, which will serve as a window into the lives of these professionals, but also potentially jumpstart career passions for our ACC students. Our first interview today will be with Gloria Liel. She is an attorney and government affairs consultant. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? How would you describe your biography?
Well, my name is Gloria Liel, and I'm an attorney and government affairs consultant, which means I do a lot of work with state government, federal government, and even local government. I work with government officials, anywhere from the executive level, which is the governor's office, but primarily to the Texas legislature, the Texas Senate, and the Texas House. But I also have some clients where I do some permits and work with the County Commissioner's Court and the City of Austin, and this is all in the Travis County area, although I am authorized to go across the state. So my background is that, like most people, maybe not ACC people, kids, I'm from South Texas. I'm not an original Travis County, Austin-born resident, but I've been here over 20 years, so that makes me as Austin-y as a lot of people. And I graduated from Westlake High School. My parents were migrant farm workers, which means in South Texas that we used to go up north to the Midwestern states of Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan, and we would pick vegetables, tomatoes, and pickles for a living. I did go to school when I was north. My father always gave us the opportunity to go to school, and I made the option to go to school when I was up north, but then I'd have to come home after school and work and on the weekends. I did graduate in the top 10%. Actually, I was number 10 in my high school. And I did apply to various colleges, and then I ended up at UT undergraduate school.
So tell us a little bit about your path and how it may have changed along the way.
My major, I thought was going to be my profession, was I started off as pre-med because some of my girlfriends were going to nursing school and I really didn't have any counseling. So I started off pre-med. And my first year at UT, I did the biology and the chemistry, and I did well. But chemistry was always a struggle. After that first year, I was an intern at a hospital, and I fainted every time I saw blood. I fainted left and right, and I said, I don't know about this. So the first year of my second year, first semester, I continued that career path, I thought. And I realized that I did not like chemistry. So then the second semester of my second year, I was undetermined. And I was undetermined for a year and a half. So I said, well, what do I do? So I took history courses, and I said, well, at the very least, you can be a teacher. Not that it's not an honorable profession, but I just really had no focus. And I took some education courses. I did student observation, which is part of the requirement, and I realized that I really do want to be around kids all day long. So then I was kind of in limbo for a while. But the entire time, I kept my grades up because I really didn't know what I was going to do. Well, I think my third year, there was an opportunity at the University of Texas to go abroad for studies. And because my parents, because we had gone up north a lot, and I had crossed the Mississippi River, I don't know how many times, gone through states in the back of a truck, okay? I loved that. So I went to Peru. And I think this is important because you as students have that opportunity to travel. And if you can, travel, because it exposes you to different peoples, different cultures. When I went to Peru, everyone spoke Spanish. I really wasn't a minority, but I was an American. So it did make me a minority of sorts, but not because I look different or spoke different. And maybe you have a different accent, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, Spanish is Spanish. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but when I came back, I was in the middle of semesters. I couldn't come to UT, so I went to work. I ended up going to see a lawyer, and I had some personal issues, and they said, are you here about the job? I said, what job? Well, there's a secretarial administrative job. And I said, no, I'm not. But I knew the lawyer. He had been a friend of my dad's. My dad was a high school dropout, but he actually helped this lawyer. He helped him with, like, his math in high school. My dad was real smart. He just didn't have that opportunity. And so I told the lawyer, I said, Mr. Cardenas, if you need someone to come help you at the office, give me a call. So 2 days later, they gave me a call. I didn't even take up the time of typing test or anything. That was awful. The secretaries all hated me because I wasted all these forms. It was a real estate practice and immigration, and he filled in the forms, and I was just awful. So, but the two lawyers, one Hispanic, one was Anglo, they started using me for intake to fill out the interview sheets like yours with the clients. And then they gave me additional responsibilities. And at the end of 3 months, I said, I can be a lawyer. And I came back to UT and I started doing government classes and history classes and just all these courses that came easier to me than chemistry, which I didn't like. So I graduated to be a lawyer. You don't have to have a degree, undergraduate degree, in any particular area, but you have to have the grades and you have to do well in test taking. And at UT, and like ACC, there's a lot of sample tests that you can take before you actually take a test. And it's very important that you do that if you're going to get a certificate or a certification in any areas. Take a sample test. Explore that. And sometimes you can get, like, reduced rates. Or at UT, they were just free. I took the free test. But then I went to law school. And the rule of thumb for graduate schools, like, undergraduate schools now, is like apply to 3 schools or apply to 5. You apply into the one that everyone aspires to, like Harvard or Yale or whatever. And then you apply to one that you actually will get into. And then right in the middle is the one that you want to get into and that's competitive with your grades and experience. So for me, that was UT. So I applied to 5 of them. I ended up getting into 3 of them, but not the 2 that I really, really wanted. They put me on the wait list. Mm-hmm. And after I started law school, 1 week into it, they called me. They had accepted me at this other school, but I was on financial aid, and I just didn't have the resources to travel. So then I went to law school. And what I want to emphasize is that if you have an aspiration to go and get a higher degree, take it in steps. You do 2 years, and then you do 2 more. UT, you got to get out in 5 years, or they penalize you. And then you do 3 years. But you don't have to do that career path. Whatever it is, just be very, very good at what you do. Just like what you do. I don't care if you're a hairstylist, a manicurist, an engineer, a technician, a mechanic. You have to like what you do because otherwise you're bored. And the other recommendation I give students, boys, young men and young women, especially young women, is seek a profession that is going to allow you to be financially independent, because you do not want to be dependent on your parents, on that abusive boyfriend. And if you end up being a single parent, you want to be able to take care of your children without the assistance of federal government, your parents, or a boyfriend that doesn't love you and doesn't want to support your child.
So what, I guess, in terms of your work, but also maybe, you know, outside, you know, volunteer, or just other, what communities do you work with, do you serve? Because a lot of what we're doing here at the Civics Lab is you know, civic education, which
sure.
is both professional, but also, you know, things that people do out of just pure passions, you know, as a side.
Sure,
thing.
Sure. So for the most part, when you're just out of school and you're trying to expand your network in any profession, be it teacher, nursing, sociology, a lawyer, doctors, nurse, you tend to associate Birds of a Feather hang together. And you tend to join those organizations where you can interact with people in your profession. So, you know, I was involved with a lot of the law activities for the American Bar Association, the Austin Bar Association, but I also was involved with the Hispanic Bar Association. But those, because I was involved more actively, or as actively, because I was accepted into the community more readily, or I think as readily as they are now, but it wasn't, to me, such a big deal about being an Hispanic. I was the only one, I mean, and I had a good reputation. I did at one point get selected because of my involvement in state bar committees and locally to be appointed by the State Bar of Texas, which is the governing board for 20,000 lawyers in the state, as one of the first four minority directors appointed by legislation to add some diversity to the to the bar. Since then, those appointments have become very, very competitive, but I was one of four. And one of the others was Sheila Jackson Lee, who's a congresswoman, and Tony Alvarado, who became the first Hispanic executive director of the state bar. I also got involved and was in the early years of founding the Mexican American Bar Association of Texas and the Hispanic Issue Section of the State Bar, all of which cater to the Hispanic lawyers, increasing the professionalism of Hispanic lawyers, but also helping to educate the Hispanic population on matters that affect them legally and legislatively. I ended up being the developer, founder of the Legislative Day at the Capitol. That is now, we didn't have it because of COVID for the last 2 years, but we're going to reinstate, and we're going to talk about redistricting, which is one of the issues passed at the Capitol. But at a more local level, in the last 5 years, I decided to do more community-based work that wasn't legal related, although I have been on task forces to help the poor, education services for the poor, etc. I became involved with the LULAC, League of United Latin American Citizens. I ended up being elected president, so I am president of a local chapter, local council, Council 650. Y'all are welcome to join me. we have discounted rates for students. And what we do is LULAC is a state and national organization at the local level and at the state level. We protect the rights of Hispanics across the state, the civic rights, education rights, electoral rights, voting rights. And I have been very, very active with that. And that's how I met you. Just recently, because of the legislation that was passed by the Texas Senate, or by the Texas legislature, which we feel was very, very detrimental to Hispanics, the voting rights legislation for it affects, that affects your right to vote, and the redistricting legislation, which notwithstanding an increase of 95% of the population being Hispanic, Hispanics did not gain any seats at the congressional level, the state level, the House level, or even with the State Board of Education. And so LULAC was a plaintiff in a lawsuit that was filed 2 weeks ago by MALDEF, Mexican American Legal Education Fund, sued the state of Texas, Governor Abbott, to try to stop this legislation. So that's an example of my being involved at the local level in civil rights for the Hispanic community, which I had not done before at any level. And I recommend that in whatever area you're in. There's always going to be, there should be, you know, an Hispanic Society for Engineers, for teachers, for social workers, for lawyers. Although in some places like South Texas, which is primarily already Hispanic, there is no need for an Hispanic bar or a Hispanic Nurse Association, et cetera, et cetera. But in the cities, we we do still find a need through the PTA, through softball games, Rotary Club, whatever it is that you're interested in.
So in conclusion, is there any advice that you would pass along, you know, to any Austin Community College students who may be listening to this?
Well, what I would like to pass on is that if you're unsure about your major, your first year, or even your second year, do not give up the education. And maybe you need to go try a couple of internships at different companies or with the government or as a teacher, volunteer work, so that you find your niche. And you will find your niche. It might take you 3 years like mine, but I did find it. And then be good at what you are. And if you're not happy, look for something else. I love being a lawyer, but I like to read. And I didn't really like being a trial lawyer, but actually I was very good at it. And I ended up liking it. And then as a consultant, a lobbyist, I like the interaction at the Capitol. I like to know judges and senators and state reps, and I consider them my equal. Mm-hmm. And I did say this, but as a lobbyist, one of the misperceptions is everybody, all lobbyists, wine and dine politicians. Well, there's the wine and diners, we call them, but then there's the substantive people like me that actually go talk to the legislators about the issue, the problems I have with legislation, recommendations I would make. And so I had to do a little bit of both because I wasn't with a big organization. But you will find your niche. And as for young women, I think you especially need an education so you can be financially secure so you don't have to rely on other people. For men and women, please take care not to drink and drive or do drugs. Because if you want to drive or you're going to have a job that's going to require some jobs, they're going to do a criminal check. And it'll impair your ability to get the job of your choice. For example, Tesla, wonderful program. They all do a background search. Mm-hmm. The other thing you have here is like a nursing program. Mm-hmm. My niece graduated from nursing school. She had a job before she even graduated in the area of her choice, which was prenatal. Mm-hmm. So those would be my recommendations. Do not give up. But you need to be good at whatever you do. I actually told my sister I would have liked being a manicurist. And actually, right now I need it.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you, Gloria, for taking your time and taking part in this interview and conclude today's podcast interview.
Well, thank you. I am so honored to be here and talk to ACC. I am so honored to be the first guest on your program. I look forward to having more discussions, and I want to make myself available to any student who's interested in any profession, as well as, of course, government and the law.